you like to discover the 100K per month blueprint and how to explode your sales from 5K to 100K per month fast? And we have the amazing Harvey Wizard, who is a U.S. presidential candidate for 2028, and he is a best-selling author and the subject of national media stories for his impossible wins. And he turned a $500 investment into a $3 million business. And he currently mentors entrepreneurs one-on-one until they hit seven figures. No excuses and no time limits. So Harvey, tell me more about the 100K per month blueprint. And we're talking dollars, not pesos. And how can anyone explode their sales from $5,000 to $100,000 per month? Tell us how someone can start doing that.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, the first thing is to make sure you have an offer that's explodable in the first place. You know, one of the main things that I do with clients is evaluate whether their offer is actually market worthy, whether this is the kind of offer that's going to be able to draw to it enough clients to be able to make $100,000 a month. And that actually is where most people go wrong right at the beginning, that they haven't actually differentiated their offer or made their offer better than similar offers or targeted a niche that nobody else is targeting. And one of the things that I require to work with someone is that they have an offer that is at least making $5,000 a month, you know? And then we have to see how that's happening. But if you've at least market tested your offer, that there's a certain level of acceptance that you've proved, then it's really a matter of doing things like lowering lead cost, finding a better offer, and just marketing in a better way, differentiation, creating an actual brand. Sometimes it's a matter of moving from in-person to online, or it's a matter of changing the way the product is presented. And so fundamentally, it's a matter of creating a system that proves that for X amount in, whether that's time or money in, you can depend upon getting X amount back. And a lot of that depends on whether or not you can lower your lead costs. That's a lot of what I do. For my own current businesses, I'm getting lead costs of 86 cents where other people are paying $10. And getting there is a matter of having an offer presented in a way that's actually different from what everybody else is doing.
Thank you. How does someone go from a $10 per lead ad cost to 86 cents? Because I've run ads before on Facebook, and I can say that, yeah, $10, you know, seems like an accurate amount. 86 cents, not so much. And
right.
So I'm wondering, whether is that because you're using AI in order to optimize the conversions, or are you using any other tricks that you can share?
Yeah, the trick is just to do something that nobody else is willing to do. That's fundamental. The secret to success, and I'll share something now. People probably still won't do it. But the secret to success is always doing things other people can't, won't, or are too afraid to do. And there's a lot of room for growth among the things that other people are too afraid to do. So here is fundamentally how the principle I used in my new business. I'm not going to say exactly what I did, because in the years when I figured out how to beat the Google AdWords algorithm, which is a similar kind of thing, and so it's really the same principle used in two different ways. And people used to ask me, I was saying I'm making $2 million a year on the internet. What's your website? And I would say, well, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. And the reason is that if you, the thing that was so fascinating was the site I was using looked very ugly. You hear a lot of talk about ugly sites. This looked like a piece of crap. So no one, which made it even better because it's kind of hiding in plain sight. This is the funnel that's bringing the, making this guy a multimillionaire, but no one would ever think so. And of course, if I ever mentioned that, yes, this was the site, then people would have reason to come and reverse engineer it. So that's why we have to be a little bit careful. But fundamentally, what was the principle? Offering coaching until a result is reached, and either that you'll give the money back or that you'll work forever until the goal is reached. And that's what everybody's afraid to do. And I know that because that was how I had the opportunity to meet John Katzman, who's kind of the in the space of tutoring, college preparation, the Princeton Review and Kaplan. These are the two leaders in the space, right? And the reason that I ended up getting to meet John Katzman was because he could not understand how I could be offering unlimited SAT tutoring until you get basically near a perfect score for a package price. And that's how I got to meet him. He's like, how are you doing it? And the first thing was I had an actual system, and that's how these things have to work. You have to have done it yourself, had enough other people do it to know that you have built a perfect system or a perfect roadmap to get people there. And then before anybody pays money, we both agree, like with the SAT, for instance, the thing was, I will get your kid to a 1530 SAT regardless of where they're starting from. I need at least a year to do it. Number one, your kid agrees to practice every day for 30 minutes and log it in. Parents say, mm-hmm. Number two, you show up for a lesson with me every time you complete a test, which will happen naturally if you're doing practice every day. And you have to have the rules memorized 100%. And you have to have these 2,500 vocabulary words memorized by the end of all this. And you have to be willing to retake the test 6 times. And then I can guarantee it. And of course, you have to do your things. See how this works? Everybody's too afraid to do it because they're so worried about overutilization. But if you employ common sense, guidelines, it's just like you go into an all-you-can-eat, and they'll say things like, you have to finish your plate before you can get the next one. There are steps against overutilization, because if you can do that, you can completely remove the risk for the buyer in ways that nobody else is doing. And that was fundamentally how I'm getting 86 cents, because I provided a better user offer, fundamentally. But it's a matter of looking at whatever you're doing and finding ways to create the offer. Because that's right. If you create the offer and you present it in a way that gets people excited, then people are going to click more frequently. And sometimes it can be a crazy thing. If you know about YouTube advertising, you're generally aiming for a nickel a view on YouTube for whatever you're advertising. So it was interesting that I was getting 10 cents. I'm sorry, I was getting 20 times better. So like 1/10 of a cent. Anyway, I beat it by 20. But because of my offer, I was offering a comedy show, a free comedy show. And at the end of the show, if you show up, I guarantee you a $50 an hour remote job working in a presidential campaign. And for very little money, I filled the place and made $15,000 selling 3 people my $5,000 unlimited coaching offer. Not a bad deal for a comedian, huh? So yes, I just gave you the secret. Okay. Working with me just means you get my ideas.
So tell us,
go ahead,
3 case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with who have managed to jump, to increase their sales from 5K to 100K per month, or from whatever, amount they were making to 100K per month. And tell us more about what they did and the kind of changes that you implemented for them, or that you advised them to implement so they can make this happen.
Sure. Right. So, and again, sometimes it's lead cost. It is it's lead cost. It's a better offer, and sometimes there are things you didn't even realize that by changing, you suddenly become more profitable, right? So, because again, it's not. I'm really aiming for $100,000 profit a month. That's really what the aim is. Okay, so this was someone who was who's just getting ready to launch an interior design business. And part of her plan was renting an office space. And this was actually a number of years ago. And the way she was going to rent the space, she was going to rent the space in downtown Manhattan, to look cool. And it was going to cost her like five, it was going to cost her maybe close to $10,000 a month or something, to rent the space, like kind of a crazy number. And this is where, because her husband had an incredibly lucrative business, so this is fun money but I said, I know it doesn't matter, but let's play it as if the game is real. It doesn't really make sense to pay that kind of money. How much you're not gaining walk-in traffic. Your business isn't walk-in traffic, and so number one, having her create doing it online. And in her case, this is probably 8, 9 years ago, when I was already making millions on Google AdWords, so I understood it better than most people at that time. And fundamentally, it was just writing ads that got people to her website. And that was easy because her work was really amazing. She had a very unique style. And so a lot so that was largely just finding and experimenting with the Google keywords to find the people who were looking for interior designers that would match her style. I'll give one trick that I use that people don't think to use, especially if you're doing something like Google AdWords, and this is the difference between, making 5,000 a month. My point being, had she opened the office, waited for walk-in traffic, that kind of thing, she might well have gone out of business, but by using the internet, then she would do webinars where people could bring a room, and she would do a quick instant makeover, things like that. So it was constantly drawing people in, offering them value, and doing it in a way that was cheap at the time because she wasn't competing against that many individual interior designers. So it's really looking at the whole thing. And I guess something you're always looking for is, what is my edge with any business? Maybe that's another part of defining, are you going to be able to get it to 100,000 a month? Do you have an edge? Do you have something that's truly different and hopefully better than what everybody else has, right? So for instance, this is how I made millions on Google AdWords. And again, this was a limited time opportunity that doesn't exist now. But at the time, I was just selling information on the internet back in 2003, 2004. And everybody was paying $1.50 a click. Anybody who was selling a similar booklet was paying $1.50 a click because they were typically bidding on keywords like work at home ideas, money making ideas, things like that. And because it's an auction, I mean, everything is an auction. Facebook is an auction. So if you're competing against people selling a similar thing, you're going to pay that much money, right? Because everybody is at about the same level of interest, all of those things. And this is a very old rule. It was at the beginning of Google AdWords, which was the thing that determined whether your ad stayed on or not was whether your ad could get 1% click-through. Anything below 1% click-through would go away. And that was Google's initial idea of making sure that whatever you were advertising on was relevant to what you were selling. They didn't want to have a bad user experience. But their only way of, at the time, enforcing that was the 1% click-through. And I started, and this is a good thing to remember for everybody, because it's also how I was selling those, how I sold my stand-up comedy. That it was actually stand-up comedy in English in Lima, Peru, and I sold out, okay, and paid $15,000. So, and how do you do these things? I think it was because realizing people, if I offer a $50 an hour remote job, which is real, and it's another program that I have through my defundtrump.net program. I have a program to defund Trump and actually do something about it, right? I mean, everybody's just complaining. I'm like, if we can actually pull money out of his pocket by making sure that his license, that the properties who are paying for his license find it no longer profitable for their business. I'll tell you, I'm going to do that later. But anyway, if you have this amazing offer, you offer people money, it's amazing how they respond. So what I said was, I bet I can get 1% click through if I can just tie money into whatever the keyword is. So my basic format was, let's say you're looking for green paint. I would target keywords no one would think to bid on, like colors or first names, broad. So you'd get like a million views a day, right? For nothing, because no one was bidding on it. And then I would have an ad that said, looking for green, make $300 in the next 10 minutes, something like that. And that was enough to get 1% of people looking for anything green to click through. And then the big day was when I said, why don't I try state abbreviations? Go super, super, super broad. So if your search term contained any state abbreviation, so it could be you're looking for a haircut in Austin, Texas, or it could be, you know, best restaurant in Cranberry, New Jersey. So you see how wide this was. Anything like that, you see my ad that says, make $300 in 10 minutes in NJ. As a result, I paid a nickel a click. Excuse me. And made millions. So it was because I came up with my own edge. You know, my edge was that I figured out how to use a keyword that nobody else did.
That was another case study of an entrepreneur you've helped to implement something different in their business that took them from 5K to 100K, or let's say whatever amount they were making to 100K per month. And what measure did you implement to help them do this?
Well, the first thing, here's an easy thing to do. Most of this is just by testing things with Facebook ads. I mean, I'll use that as, because if your idea has traction, you're going to see which ideas have traction one against the other. And this is where you use AI, because you tell AI what your business is. Say, and this is what people don't realize. You have to ask AI directly for certain things in order to get it. So you would have to, after giving your idea, say to AI, I'm looking for something that would differentiate me. What are the areas where I could get some differentiation? And that's going to start, it's going to start helping you. And yeah, truly, if this is what you're aiming for, you know, that you're aiming for something that's going to stand out, that's going to differentiate, that's going to be better than what everybody else does. And as an example, what I'm saying is true differentiation, offer something that nobody else in your industry would have the guts to do, but have a way. That's what you have to come up with, a way to do things that nobody else in your industry is doing. And that's what you're getting paid for. The money doesn't just come, you know, it generally comes by finding, it's like the gold rush, right? It's like everybody's looking for gold, which is the idea that's actually gold. And the way you find out is you ask ChatGPT how to differentiate. It will tell you how to create the Facebook ad, and then you can run it as a lead ad and see what your lead cost is. What I'll usually do is say, I want to spend $50. In most cases, I will shut it off after I've spent 10 or 12, because if I haven't gotten a couple leads by $10 or $12 worth, it's not a winner. And this is a way of figuring out what your whole approach could be, spending very little money and not doing anything until you find a winner. And a lot of this is having the patience to wait for a winner. It's just like people who talk about investing in stocks, how they're very patient. And it's this patience and the persistence and just doing something over and over and over again. Because everybody can gain a new skill. This is a skill that I didn't have that I now have. I wanted the skill of being able to create a YouTube and Instagram IG post, put it out there, and have it get at least 1,000 views that day. So the idea is then the return on my investment is it's a 5-minute upload for 1,000 views. Now you start competing yourself with Facebook, you say, just through your own organic content. But same idea, you keep trying things and see what's working and And then you go all in on what's working.
Thank you. Can I ask you as well, because I think it's not just about having a really low lead cost, but it's more about having a targeted lead that, you know, is interested in what you have to offer and has the money to invest in what you have to offer and is ready and willing to invest in what you have to offer right now and not so much in like 2 years and not just inquiring for the sake of, oh yeah, maybe in 2 to 5 years I will do this. And also not undecided people who are going to look at 1,000 offers and finally choose yours if it's the cheapest, but, you know, targeted people who are interested, willing, able to invest in what you have, and at the same time, really great people. I mean, I don't know how you could possibly even find those kind of people in an ad. There are some ways to refine them, but from my experience with ads, I found that, for example, with Facebook ads, I was finding a lot of like hundreds of leads, but not so much qualified leads, not so much people who had the money to invest. A lot of really broke people that, you know, had a lot of interest. And so I'm thinking that maybe where I was failing was targeting the wrong keyword. So tell me about, for example, for someone who's doing publishing, you know, to helping people to become an author and to start speaking globally, and then to, you know, become popular and start speaking at events. And what kind of keyword would you target to lower that lead cost, but at the same time to bring targeted leads? If you were to do this ads, because I'm currently
right, but
not
what's...
doing that with ads anymore, because I find that people are elsewhere. And I am finding them, but I'm saying, let's say if I was to do ads again, where would I go? What would I do differently?
Well, like I said, what is your offer?
So it's a book publishing offer where people can become an author in 90 days. And then, you know, they would also have like a website for their book, and then start getting invited to speak at different events. And I would get them books to speak at different events globally. And from there, they would get into networks where they can present whatever it is that they want to sell, whether it's properties or investment projects or whatever it is. And I would also help them to introduce them to some key people that would, you know, potentially buy their offers or invest in their projects.
Okay. So fundamentally, what you're selling is connection, right?
Well, I don't call it that. It's a book publishing and branding program, which will lead to that. Yes.
Okay. Right. So, but if we get to the end,
yes,
looking for connection, and this is, like I said, this is where, you know, I would challenge you, and it's a problem that everybody has that's selling what you're selling, which is, what guarantee do they have that they're actually going to get any money back? That's why I said what you're selling is connection, but what would actually guarantee, you know, what would you be able to guarantee? And now we get into, do you want to know how I got somebody from Hearst fired for trying to sell me the same thing or not?
Sure.
No, I mean, like I said, when you bring me on, you know, the 65-year-old badass, I'm just going to speak truth about things.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
But which hopefully will help you and someone else, because you have to, if you really put yourself on the other person's side, okay, the other person who doesn't know you, and all of this sounds great, but what, you know, what do they actually want? And are you going to give them what they actually want? And if you're not, then you need to sell them in some way, you know, on why it's worth it, even though it's not what they want. Okay. And this is how, like, how I ended up getting this Hearst salesperson fired, because I got so mad. Because he was trying to sell me, he wanted to sell me a $3,000 Hearst ad, right? And it was going to be put in a very wealthy area, and that was nice. But again, I'm thinking I can ask Facebook just to chart, you know, show my ads in that area. So how are you beating them out? You know, why should I give this money to you? What are you doing? Where's your edge? What's better? And then they had a guarantee. And I'm saying you could use, and these guarantees obviously were working, because by the time Hearst is using it, I'm assuming it's been pretty battle tested and it works, but I will contend it's a scam. And here was their guarantee. The guarantee was, for the $3,000, you're going to X, they call it, you know, X number of readers, or some, they give you some number of people, but what would those people be required to do? Spend 30 seconds reading spend at least 30 seconds reading the article. No guarantee of click, no guarantee of sale. And then when you compare that to Facebook, where, as I said, I get to try for, you know, for $20 at a time to see if it's even working. And here I'm just going to give $3,000. And I got upset because the numbers would have sounded very convincing to somebody who wasn't sophisticated enough and maybe done it as much as I did and understand what the different stages are. And like, oh yeah, getting someone to read your article for 30 seconds is like, that's real easy, you know, but you got, you know, compared. So I said, and it's a scam. And I said, I'm going to let everybody know what a scam it is. And he got so mad that he left a message on my voicemail. I guess people do stupid things when they get emotional, where in addition to cursing me out, he said that he was going to tell the whole world I was a pedophile to crash my tutoring business. But he left it on my voicemail. Not very smart. I don't know if you or your audience, someone in your audience probably knows what Jib Jab is. Jib Jab is, it's an app that gives you these cartoon characters almost dancing to favorite songs, and you can take your friends' faces and you put it in, you make these cool greeting cards around holidays and everything. So it's just like a joke. Oh, you know. So basically I took the guy's face from his LinkedIn. I put it on the dancing figure. I used some of the music. I basically took his voicemail and used it as the soundtrack on the YouTube video, which I ran just, you know, it was such a fun $50. I ran it just in the town where the office of his, and then I sent the link to everybody on the board of Hearst. And on Monday, I got an email. Well, yeah, I got fired, but could you please take the YouTube video down so I can get a job for the rest of my life? So that made me, that was kind of fun. But like I said, you have to be with the access. And again, you can sell it. The way to sell it, and this is how you test it with ChatGPT and with Facebook ads, if you want to sell it the way it is, you need to come up with some numbers. And also, if you have, I mean, a wall of video testimonials of people who had made X amount of money already doing it would cinch the deal. The problem is a lot of times people don't have that at maybe an early stage of an offer, and then what do you do, right? So ask ChatGPT, you know, you're looking for an angle that maybe will work. But I'll tell you something that happened to me. And again, I'm still debating because this really still upset me. It was a few thousand dollars. It was a company that would guarantee they get me on podcasts. And they guarantee at least you get on two podcasts per month for like $2,500. The problem is that the podcast itself, and this wasn't made clear, did not have any kind of huge audience. It's not like getting on the Joe Rogan podcast or something, right? It's the number of people who could possibly see you was so small that unless what you're offering was exactly targeted to that group, you weren't going to get anything. Now, what I learned in that month for me was that this is stupid, because what I was really getting from these podcasts, because they weren't very well known, was extra video content, just like I'm getting right now, and you're getting video content too, right? We're both getting video content. And that's valuable. But if I can set up my own podcast for free, then I to get roughly the same value for me, because I never got a single sale from those podcasts. So I'm laying this all out to give you, you know, what's in my mind is even a potential consumer of your product, you know, that, and then the key would be figuring out something that you could get guarantee. And I don't know if that's possible, because that would require maybe some kind of agreement, maybe with the people who are going to be attending, that something happens, or it could be your own experience, maybe. In other words, if you know two or three people, I got it. If you know some people who would, let's say, entertain a one-on-one meeting, do you know what I'm saying? So in other words, if you might be able to guarantee something short of a closed deal, something that nobody else is guaranteeing, hopefully, by working it out with the people coming, would you be willing to give, you know, in return for speaking, will you be willing to give like a free consultation or something that ups your what you can offer to the prospective to the respective attendee. Does that make sense?
Would you say that it's also enough to provide some guarantees that are not necessarily leading to a sale, but let's say, 10 speaking opportunities in front of a total of, 5,000 investors? Is that a good kind of guarantee? Or would you say that it has to be, okay, you will be having, 10 or 20 or however many meetings with potential investors to invest in your project, or I will make this kind of introductions to this kind of people, or is that the kind of thing that you're referring to?
Yeah, I think it is that kind of thing. It's funny, I consider myself a pretty savvy consumer.
Yeah.
And I paid $20,000 to someone that I met in a marketing group. And it was because they were very specific about what they would do, which is that they had access to a VIP room and they were going to personally introduce me to everybody in the room. And I had just built a website for her for free, right? And I was organizing a bunch of stuff for her for free, which I was doing anyway, with the idea that I was going to do this one project for free and then we would do a larger project for pay later. And that's why I never really thought she would screw me. And she was very specific about, you're going to be in this room, and these are people making between this much money and this much money. And the main thing was, these are people that she claimed that she had a personal connection with, and she was going to be introducing, I couldn't attend, but it was one of my colleagues. She was going to be introducing these people one at a time and saying, these guys save my business. You see, so for all of that, I was like, okay, if I get all of that for 20 grand, and I'm selling at the time it was a $2,000 a month service. So I'm like, I got to win on this, right? And then in the end, she was a complete scammer. She didn't even have access to the VIP room because she hadn't paid some entry fee and we got absolutely nothing. But she was the inspiration for what's now going to be probably the most lucrative business I've ever started. Because I was so angry about being ripped off for the 20 grand that I got this idea, there must be people out there like me too. You know what happened here? This is how I was getting 56 cent leads. Imagine getting a 50, and so I spent $1,000 in advertising and I got back what will be $300,000 in profit.
Thank you. So for those people that, let's say, want to also leverage having like a low lead cost with a big promise like you, what can they do to not over deliver? Because, for example, in my case, when I started the book publishing business, I found it really hard to meet the demands of clients in the beginning because I didn't have any boundaries. So, for example, one of my first clients, I think it took me about 1,000 hours to deliver her first book publishing project because she kept writing and then I was editing and she kept writing and I was editing and so on. So I'm not sure if you heard what I said. I hope so. And so for people that want to make a big promise and stick to it, what are some guidelines they need to put in place to make sure they don't shoot themselves in the foot?
Sure. You have to figure out everything that could go wrong. That's the thing. You have to figure out everything that could go wrong and anticipate it. So, excuse me. Now, for instance, this business that I started, nothing can go wrong. And I closed sales in 10 minutes because why wouldn't you? You've been trying to get this money for all of this time. Nobody is helping you. You have no other option. And suddenly someone comes in and says, just sign this contract. Give me 15%. You owe me nothing if you get nothing, which is what you've been getting all along. The offer just, and interestingly, when I cleared all this and all of the copy for this whole thing was written by ChatGPT, by the way. So, for somebody who's looking, the exact question that you asked me is the question that you asked ChatGPT. I want to do this offer. what are the, because we'll tell you, what are the risks? How do I mitigate the risks? I don't know, maybe, it's funny, I've asked ChatGPT whether other people use it the way I do, and supposedly almost nobody, which means everybody has this opportunity. If you actually see ChatGPT as a marketing consultant, and you can have these conversations with it. For instance, in terms of marketing, it's just like having a third person who's really smart. I've been working with my wife, who's a relationship coach, and I gave her the idea of, why don't you offer, not getting married, but find true love for $5,000, or I'll work for free until you do. And she was scared of the offer, you know, as most people might be, until we actually worked it out that she's a psychologist, she's a doctor of psychology, she has a lot of these very specific things going on. And I was like, well, if you can quantify where they are when they start, and then you quantify where they want to go and where you're guaranteeing they're going to get for $5,000, and you come up with very specific things, like if I could do this, if I could do this, if I could do this, right? So now we have a way of knowing if they reached it or not in an objective way. But then, again, there's things that the client has to do, right? That they have to do all homework within the agreed upon time limit, things like that. And people will agree to these things up front, because most people are not honest about how bad they are at following through. So if you know that, and you, it's really just, you have to break down what you're doing, what you're offering, and have ChatGPT go over it with you. I mean, the funny thing, I do so many things that are right on the edge, and that's why they're powerful. You know, right on the edge of the legal line, like just a little bit over, I'd be illegal. And I have ChatGPT review all of my content that way. I mean, I can even say to ChatGPT, I want you to make this as aggressive as it absolutely possibly can be, as long as it doesn't go criminal. But from wherever you are, you want to give all the information to ChatGPT, ask it to find the loopholes. And if you haven't found one, that's when you call Harvey Wizard. because fundamentally, the thing with ChatGPT, and I've discovered myself, and I asked it this, because I had been going back and forth with ChatGPT, and then finally, I came up with the solution, and then said, well, why didn't you give me the solution? And it was because, well, you didn't ask the right question. Interesting.
That is very funny. So let's say that you put some boundaries in place, that let's say the clients have to do X and Y in order to qualify for this offer. What do you do in case that, let's say, they don't meet the certain criteria? Let's say that they promised to do this, I don't know, homework or work or whatever it is, and they didn't do that part. Does that mean that lets you off the hook of delivering the actual promise?
Right, exactly. It lets you off the hook. It's not going to be pleasant at the end of this, but let me give you an example, because this happened with my SAT business. And again, this was a guarantee that no one's ever matching. I have a thing against Mark Cuban because I'm prep expert. It specifically says we have the best guarantee in the world. I'm like, no, you don't. I do. Because, right, for $3,900, I money-back guarantee a 1530 or better out of 1600. That's a good enough score for Harvard on your SAT, plus top 25 school admission. Now, right in the guarantee, it says commensurate with GPA and class rank, right? So if you're coming to me, if you want to get top 25, you have to be in the top 10% of your class. So now what people should know is I have lots of people who don't have a chance of fulfilling the guarantee, but they got into a conversation with me because of the offer. And in the end, they fully understand that their kid's not going to get the 1530 guarantee because they're not good in there, because they know their kid isn't going to actually do the homework every day and sign in. But it was my opportunity to present my alternate approach, which is different than everybody else's, sold them on the approach, and they pay the same money without the guarantee. So that's something. Again, it's just being willing to throw things out there and have conversations and see how people react. But I got a, and I've been doing it for a year and a half, not a single complaint. And then I did have a mom call me and ask for the money back because the kid didn't get the score and didn't get into the school she wanted. Now, it was not a surprise to me because, you know, I can usually, in the first 10 seconds of meeting a kid, know if they're going to succeed or not. I think anybody who does a certain element of coaching, you just see patterns after a while and you know, but sometimes I'm wrong and I'm not going to say to the parent, I looked in your kid's eyes, you're wasting your money here. But because as long as they say that they're going to get, you know, the kid's going to practice and all this. So if the point is, this is a kid, even with the projects that I do with them. I mean, most kids take a certain amount of pride in it. I have them create their own business. They create their own website. They do it, but I sort of guide them. And you can see right away who the winners and losers are. I'm sorry, at least at that point in life are for these kids. I mean, some of these kids, anybody can do it with Wix. It's made that somebody who puts a little effort into it can create something truly amazing. And some kids do and some kids don't. And this kid was a definitely don't. I mean, maybe she spent 30 minutes. It just looked off, but it was like, it was hard enough to get her to even finish it. Meanwhile, she hadn't. So it was so great when the mom called and I said, well, let's see what her scheduling log looks like in terms of her practice log. Said, unfortunately, I can't give you your daughter's practice log because she never logged in a single minute. And you know what? I never heard from her again, and end of story. So, you know, I'm not saying that everybody is going to be as easy as that, but it part of it is just being honest. You want to know what you can do and what the other person needs to do. And if, you know, if you're actually good at what you do, then you have, that's when you have the opportunity to get those cheap clicks. Why? Because offer something that nobody else is offering. Do the scary, and part of it is just doing the work to figure out, you know, one last just corroborating, you know, when I talked, you said, how did you go from a $500 investment to $3 million a year? And here's another situation doing something scary nobody else is willing to do. And also something a little smarter than everybody else. So we're offering pregnancy massage to pregnant women. We have a great location on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. So good. We started, imagine, starting a business for pregnant women on a third floor walk-up. But there was nobody on the Upper East Side, the rich area of Manhattan, offering that kind of massage at that point. And I remember one woman, multi-millionaire, she would have her driver, you know, she had a limo and a driver who would leave her in front of our building, wait for her while she went up the three flights, you know. And she was, right, because it was so good. So how did you get the word out there? Well, this is before the internet. How do you do it? We'd go where the pregnant women are in the OBGYN's offices. But in Manhattan, you couldn't get, as I discovered because I tried, you couldn't get a meeting with an OBGYN. They're too busy talking to drug representatives and they don't have the time. What are you giving them? You know, it's too hard of a sale. Maybe you are giving something to them, but they don't have time for it. So I used the reverse sale idea. I made a brochure holder, carved a brochure holder, put a bunch of brochures in about our service, went into the OBGYN office, and this is because I had noticed they had a bunch of these cardboard brochure holders with other things. Most of them were drugs, but they were carpet, you know, brochure holders, so it wouldn't look out of place. And I said, hi, we do pregnancy massage. Can I put this over there? 95% success rate. That's why over 3 years we were the only place getting referrals from every OBGYN, but I didn't stop there because it was unusual at that time in New York State to have massage therapists licensed. Most states didn't license at the time, but they did. And then I noticed in a health insurance contract, it said that they would pay for physical therapy services provided by licensed professionals. I was getting pregnant women coming six times a week at $250 a pop paid for by insurance. We basically went from charging $75 and giving people a receipt to charging $250 and said, we'll take what the insurance pays, which is 80%. So we fundamentally tripled our price and quadrupled our volume because now people didn't have to lay it out and they could come as many times as they wanted as they saw it for free.
Wow. Right.
And not a single massage therapy place in all of Manhattan did it. Or tried it. They were all too scared.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
HarveyWizard.com. I made it into a hub. Everything I do is right there. HarveyWizard.com. Whether you want me to get back money from someone who owes it to you for a long time, and you have to be willing to see them destroyed on the internet. And if you're willing to do that, then I have the leverage. I can get the money back. Pay me $5,000. I'll make a seven-figure business. And my wife's on there as well. Find true love in 12 months for $5,000, or she'll keep working with you for free until you do.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.